Ekström had left his reading glasses at home and had to push his glasses up onto his forehead and squint to be able to read the last-minute handwritten additions to his text. He stroked his blonde goatee before he readjusted his glasses once more and surveyed the room. Salander sat with her back ramrod straight and gave the prosecutor an unfathomable look. Her face and eyes were impassive, and she did not appear to be wholly present. It was time for the prosecutor to begin questioning her.
"I would like to remind Fröken Salander that she is speaking under oath," Ekström said at last.
Salander did not move a muscle. Prosecutor Ekström seemed to be anticipating some sort of response, and waited for a few seconds. He looked at her expectantly.
"You are speaking under oath," he said.
Salander tilted her head very slightly. Giannini was busy reading something in the preliminary investigation protocol and seemed unconcerned by whatever Prosecutor Ekström was saying. Ekström shuffled his papers. After an uncomfortable silence, he cleared his throat.
"Very well, then," Ekström said. "Let us proceed directly to the events at the late Advocate Bierman's summer cabin outside Stallarholmen on April 6th of this year, which was the starting point of my presentation of the case this morning. We shall attempt to bring clarity to how it happened that you drove down to Stallarholmen and shot Carl Magnus Lundin."
Ekström gave Salander a challenging look. Still, she did not move a muscle. The prosecutor suddenly seemed resigned. He threw up his hands and looked pleadingly at the judge. Judge Everson seemed wary. He glanced at Giannini, who was still engrossed in some papers, apparently unaware of her surroundings. Judge Everson cleared his throat. He looked at Salander.
"Are we to interpret your silence to mean that you don't want to answer any questions?" he asked.
Salander turned her head and met Judge Everson's eyes.
"I will gladly answer questions," she said.
Judge Everson nodded.
"Then perhaps you can answer the question," Ekström put it.
Salander looked at Ekström and said nothing.
"Could you please answer the question?"
Judge Everson urged her. Salander looked back at the judge and raised her eyebrows. Her voice was clear and distinct.
"Which question? Until now that man there," she nodded towards Ekström, "has made a number of unverified statements. I haven't yet heard a question."
Giannini looked up. She propped her elbow on the table and leaned her chin on her hand with an interested expression. Ekström lost his train of thought for a few seconds.
"Could you please repeat the question?" Judge Everson said.
"I asked whether you drove down to Advocate Bierman's summer cabin in Stallarholmen with the intention of shooting Carl Magnus Lundin."
"No. You said that you were going to try to bring clarity to how it happened that I drove down to Stallarholmen and shot Carl Magnus Lundin. That was not a question. It was a general assertion in which you anticipated my answer. I'm not responsible for the assertions you are making."
"Don't quibble. Answer the question."
"No."
Silence.
"No what?"
"No is my answer to the question."
Prosecutor Ekström sighed. This was going to be a long day. Salander watched him expectantly.
"It might be best to take this from the beginning," he said. "Were you at the late Advocate Bierman's summer cabin in Stallarholmen on the afternoon of April 6th this year?"
"Yes."
"How did you get there?"
"I went by shuttle train to Södertälje and took the Strängnäs bus."
"What was your reason for going to Stallarholmen? Had you arranged a meeting there with Carl Magnus Lundin and his friend Sonny Niemenen?"
"No."
"How was it that they showed up there?"
"You'll have to ask them that.
I'm asking you."
Salander did not reply.
Judge Everson cleared his throat. "I presume that Fröken Salander is not answering because, purely semantically, you have once again made an assertion," the judge said helpfully.
Giannini suddenly snickered just loud enough to be heard. She pulled herself together at once and studied her papers again. Ekström gave her an irritated glance.
"Why do you think Lundin and Niemenen went to Bierman's summer cabin?"
"I don't know. I suspect that they went there to commit arson. Lundin had half a gallon of gasoline in a plastic bottle in the saddlebag of his Harley Davidson."
Ekström pursed his lips.
"Why did you go to Advocate Bierman's summer cabin?"
"I was looking for information."
"What sort of information?"
"The information that I suspect Lundin and Niemenen were there to destroy, and which could contribute to clarifying who murdered the bastard. Is it your opinion that Advocate Bierman was a bastard? Is that correctly construed?
Yes.
And why do you think that?
He was a sadistic pig, a pervert, and a rapist, and therefore a bastard.
She was quoting the text that had been tattooed on the late Advocate Bierman's stomach, and thus indirectly admitting that she was responsible for it. This incident, however, was not included in the charges against Salander. Bierman had never filed a report of assault, and it would be impossible now to prove whether he had allowed himself to be tattooed or whether it had been done against his will.
In other words, you are alleging that your guardian forced himself on you. Can you tell the court when these assaults are supposed to have taken place?
They took place on Tuesday, February 18th, 2003, and again on Friday, March 7th of the same year.
You have refused to answer every question asked by the police in their attempts to interview you. Why?
I have nothing to say to them.
I have read the so-called autobiography that your lawyer delivered without warning a few days ago. I must say it is a strange document, and we'll come back to it in more detail later. But in it you claim that Advocate Bierman allegedly forced you to perform oral sex on the first occasion, and on the second subjected you to an entire night of repeated rape and severe torture.
Lisbeth did not reply.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you report the rapes to the police?
No.
Why not?
The police never listened before when I tried to tell them something, so there seemed no point in reporting anything to them then.
Did you discuss these assaults with any of your acquaintances?
A girlfriend?
No. Why not?
Because it's none of their business.
Did you try to contact a lawyer?
No.
Did you go to a doctor to be treated for the injuries you claim to have sustained?
No.
And you didn't go to any women's crisis centre either?
Now you're making an assertion again.
Excuse me. Did you go to any women's crisis centre?
No.